Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. The ongoing humanitarian crisis in Gaza is front and center. While in Scotland, President Trump today said he's concerned about the reports of starvation in Gaza and says both the Israelis and Hamas need to stop the fighting.
Well, I think nobody's done anything great over there. The whole place is a mess. It'll get straightened out, but it's a mess. They have to get food and food and safety right now.
Extreme heat predicted up and down the East Coast, but the worst of it is blanketing the Southeast. ABC meteorologist Jeff Smith.
These heat advisories continue in the New York City area right through Wednesday, but this is such an extreme and wide-ranging heat wave across much of the central and eastern part of the country. We're talking St. Louis all the way down to Jackson, Mississippi, New Orleans, Savannah up to Raleigh, Memphis 114, Little Rock 111, Savannah 110, and we do not get much relief at all across the Southeast right through the latter part of the week.
This is ABC News. A Delta Airlines pilot is in jail in Northern California, arrested by federal agents in the cockpit.
Officer Rustam Bagwagar had just landed in San Francisco, piloting the Boeing 757 from Minneapolis when federal agents stormed the plane and arrested him in uniform and on duty. The arrest links to a case out of Contra Costa County in Northern California. The sheriff's office says Bagwagar, who lives in Florida, has been the focus of an investigation since April, the case involving sex assault on a child. When detectives learned he would be landing in San Francisco, they had federal agents waiting to arrest him. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Spirit Airlines announced it'll be furloughing 270 pilots starting November 1st. The airline said it's taking this action to, quote, ensure we operate as efficiently as possible as part of our efforts to return to profitability. The move comes after the airline emerged from Chapter 11 bankruptcy in March. I'm Stephanie Officer, ABC News.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Jenkins back for the pack. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from the Packers training camp in Green Bay, where Elgton Jenkins is back to work and in his new role on the offensive line at center. Now, the team had asked Jenkins to move from left guard to center in the offseason. But when they signed Aaron Banks from the 49ers to a $77 million contract, Jenkins' agent objected. Today, Jenkins, returning from a back injury suffered during weightlifting in May, says he's back and will play center on his current deal.
Right now, I'm just focused on the season going forward, just being able to perform for the team and just getting our O-line right, offense right, and so we can be better this year than we was last year.
Today was the first practice in pads, and on just the third play from scrimmage, running back Marshawn Lloyd, a third-round pick last year out of USC, was hit so hard by defensive back Nate Hobbs, he fell to his knees and sat out the rest of the day. Baseball, Brewers and Cubs, game one of the divisional rivals, going at it tonight at American Family Field. We'll recap the game later tonight with Sports on Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight with showers and thunderstorms developing. Some could be severe with strong wind gusts and very heavy rainfall. Low near 70. Sunshine returns later tomorrow afternoon. A slight storm chance into the evening. High in the mid-80s. Right now it's 80.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4:30, we're joined by Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. And at 5 o'clock, I engage with Professor Mariel Barnes about violence against women, gender, and the Epstein scandal. Next.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
All of these things should sound off alarm bells, bigly. And you see what Donald Trump's doing with Harvard and with Columbia. You see what he's doing with Paramount, ABC, capitulated in a lawsuit to Trump. We're America. We're not Hungary. We're a democracy. We're always going to be a democracy. Yeah, that's what they thought in Hungary. The way that Viktor Orban and the right wing gained power was by using a little bit of power to get more power, to use pressure on networks.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
Corrine Hendrickson, you mentioned a conversation with Ron Johnson, Corrine, about the need for child care in Wisconsin. How did that go?
I said, why don't you think we should fund? And he goes, I think an elegant solution, it would be for moms like you to stay home so the other moms can go to work. And I said, well, and I shouldn't get paid for that? And he just kind of stared at us. And I said, that tells me all I need to know.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX. Lacrosse is home for Matt Nair on air.
You're pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff. Coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We do have a busy show coming up for you today. Civic Media News Director Shally Pittman joining us after the 9:30 news. Of course, Governor Evers announcing last week he will not seek a third term. We have two names. One is in. Mm-hmm. Another one is expected to jump in. But yes, there's some other people in the background yet that we are expecting to make announcements. So Shally will be talking about that along with many other things related to state politics in Wisconsin. Our number two, he is the new chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Devin Remicker is going to join us. Looking forward to this.
Yeah.
Haven't had a chance to talk to him yet since he slid into the spot that was held by Ben Wickler very successfully for a long time. So we will talk to Devin Remicker and find out what his vision is going forward. We have some important elections coming up.
Just a few.
Just several hundred. It's fine. Yeah. It's all going to be fine. At 10:30, Friday's audio survey was about losing your car in a parking lot or a parking ramp.
And you thought you were the only one.
I was really relieved to know I was not the only one. And then we had an email come in that came in just after the show.
Yeah.
It's kind of an addendum to the earlier audio sorbet. So we're going to do an update with that. And again, I know there are more stories out there about people who have lost their cars.
Yes, just like Wisconsin, Jane, you're among friends.
I'm among friends, exactly. So if you would like to share your story about losing your vehicle, parking ramp, parking garage, maybe just on your block, I don't know, it happens.
Yeah.
It happens. Yeah. I left it somewhere.
I left it somewhere.
A moment ago.
My car was right there. And you're like, nope, it's parked over there.
So that's coming up after 10:35. And then we'll wrap up the show as we always do with this shouldn't be a thing. Today, it's the extra padding edition. It's a good one. Stick around for that. I wanted to congratulate. I saw this on the text line over the weekend because we do. I check the text line over the weekend because I'm nosy.
Yeah. You want to know what's going on. You want to know the haps.
The haps. What are the haps?
What's the skinny?
Shout out to Jim from Brookfield.
Yeah.
Jim and his wife picked up those tickets for Wednesday's game as part of Free Ticket Friday. Yep. So Jim from Brookfield and his wife got those tickets. Brewers club level seat tickets for Wednesday's game when the Brewers host the Cubbies. Should be a really good game.
Jim, if you're going, I'm sure you're going with friends, take a picture, take some pictures and text them to us via the Civic Media app. That's the great thing about the app is you can call us, text us, leave a voice note, and you can send us those pictures if you with your seats and the fun you're having, because we'd love to know. And if you are a Brewers fan right now, this is going to be an anxiety-ridden series because The Brewers didn't do so hot this weekend.
Right.
And they lost their lead in first place. So it's like neck and neck. And it's neck and neck between first and second place of the Central Division. So it's going to be crazy. And when the Cubs fans are in town, it's always an extra layer of awesome.
Yeah. I'm taking a different approach to this. I think the Brewers intentionally held back over the weekend because they're saving up their good stuff for this series against the Cubs. That's what I am choosing to look at this.
Your conspiracy theories are weird.
And we're going to get to conspiracy theories, too, a little bit later on. But I wanted to start off with this, and this is from WPR. Greg and I were talking about this off the air. From Corrine Hess has the byline, UW Extension's Food-Wise Nutrition Education Program shutting down after federal funds eliminated. More than 90 people now losing their jobs with the 30-year-old program. We were told that there were not going to be any nutritional cuts. There would be no cuts to SNAP, no cuts to all of these things. Well, this is kind of this educational thing is part of all of those.
It's referred to as SNAP Ed.
Yeah. Right. The National Education and Obesity Prevention Grant Program, their funding ends at the end of September. For more than three decades, this program called FoodWise has been providing people with nutrition education, community-based strategies to support healthy eating. As we've talked about this a lot, it's much easier to do things in advance to protect your health rather than wait until you get sick.
Absolutely. Proactive is always better. It's always better.
Proactive is better than reactive.
Yes.
So this program has been reaching over 133,000 people. It's been a big help across the state. And it is tied into other programs like Food Right, Hunger Task Force, which is a huge, huge program here in southeastern Wisconsin. And I've talked to them numerous times over the decades. The need for assistance isn't going down.
No.
It's not.
No. The need isn't going down. One in seven people struggle with finding the right nutrition. Many of those people, and that's those are children
and elderly
people. And it is baffling to me that this program would be cut. Let me rephrase that. It's baffling to me that the funding to this program would be cut. These are jobs. This is a good service. This has to do with SNAP. And I mean, what it makes me think of immediately, and I can't think of the exact name and the acronym, is the program which paid farmers to grow food and then take that food to local food banks. That funding was also cut. I don't understand how this makes any sense. This does nothing but good for the people. It helps people. And they said, nah.
Yeah, we don't have the money for that. Food Right educates more than 1,200 MPS students on how to cook and appreciate affordable, whole food, plant-based meals. There's a lot of just basic nutritional stuff that a lot of us don't have.
Yes.
And could use a little education about.
Yeah. I have access to food. I have the ability to go to the grocery store right now. I could use this program.
Right.
You know, this is not just about, honestly, these programs aren't just about helping those who suffer with food insecurity or getting nutritious meals. It's an educational program that can help us all as far as making the best meals possible to stay healthy. So, this is another thing that's the victim of the big bill for billionaires, and exactly so, because in a statement released by Tammy Baldwin, Gwen Moore, Mark Pocan, and Tony Evers, they said, sadly, we are watching vital resources that Wisconsin families rely on to stay healthy and help put food on their table being stripped away. Also, Republicans in Congress and President Trump can give out tax breaks to the wealthy. And that's what it is.
Pretty much.
Never forget that, too. There is no version of cutting this program or the farming program or anything else that deals with nutrition or helping people find food that is those cuts can't be spun as patriotic, helping America, making America great again. No, none of those things. It's because they have to find the money they so desperately need, because Doge didn't do the job.
Yeah.
They need to find the money, and so they're just going to cut everything, and they're going to cut it from the people who have the least amount of power and the least amount of voice.
Absolutely, and the ones who need it the most.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Oh, I know you're not wrong.
Derek Van Orden.
Yes.
Who sits on the Agriculture Committee,
correct? the congressman of the 3rd District.
Yeah, he took great issue when this came up months ago.
Yeah.
That these cuts were going to be affecting the SNAP program and associated programs. And as he always does, Derek Van Orden remained calm.
Yep.
Completely composed.
Professional.
Professional. When this came up, I believe there is a clip, Calvin.
Yes.
From Derek Van Orden talking about cuts to SNAP. Can we play that well-composed clip from Mr. Van Orden, please? No problem. We're talking about an article in WPR this morning about UW Extension's Foodwise Nutrition Education Program is being cut. And this affects Hunger Task Force, a whole bunch of other programs that are tied into this. All right, now we have that clip ready from Derek Van Orden talking about cuts to SNAP. Let's hear it, please.
I want to clear the air, and I'm going to dispel some things. If you're receiving benefits from the federal government lawfully as an American citizen, your benefits are not going to be reduced by a nickel.
By a nickel.
Okay, I'm going to say it again. If you're an American citizen that is lawfully receiving benefits from the federal government, your benefits will not be reduced by a nickel. Write that down.
Okay? I'll write it down.
I was raised in abject rural poverty by a single mother. We're on welfare, food stamps, where you had a stamp, stick it on a card, go to the grocery store. I had subsidized lunches and government cheese. I was the hungry child that my colleagues are talking about. Okay? Things have changed. And the same people that told you during the last budgetary cycle that Republicans are going to cut Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security, WIC, SNAP, they lied to you.
Really?
They lied openly to the American public.
What did they
do? The same people that lied to you and are fear-mongering with hungry children and those most in need in our country. Composed. And it's unacceptable and it's despicable.
Please don't yell.
This should be a nonpartisan committee. They're lying.
He yelled.
I'm over it.
Okay.
Stop it.
I always love how when he gets revved up, his final words are always something very like, knock it off. Just stop it. That is Derek Van Orden sitting in front of a group of people on video lying to you, lying through his teeth, lying about SNAP, WIC, Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. They're all being cut. And because of those cuts that he voted for three times, SNAP benefits are being cut. And because of that, this program's being cut. And you grew up in rural, abject poverty.
You should know better.
Why are you not the first person on the front line fighting for them to have these benefits?
And while we can't afford nutritional programs, you know what we can't afford?
What, Jane?
You know what's in that big budget for billionaires?
What's that?
$45 million for that Statue of Heroes.
Oh, boy, can't wait.
They managed to keep that in the budget because that's really important.
Do you know what we had money for, Jane?
What?
$45 million as well for a parade.
A parade.
A big birthday parade.
And we also had another $10 million so the president of our country could go golfing over the weekend in Scotland.
And cheat.
And well, yeah, there's video of that too. That's a whole nother. We don't even have time to go down that road.
I'm never going to let up on this because, you know, look, he's a Republican. That doesn't mean he's. I don't disagree with him because he's a Republican. I disagree with him because he's doing terrible things and lying about it. He is not helping the people he says he's going to help. He sits on the Ag Committee. The Farm Bill is 2 years behind.
Yes.
He does nothing to help anybody. And when you ask him a question, he gets angry. And there is video proof on many occasions of him not being able to handle being questioned because he doesn't like his authority questioned. Well, guess what, folks? He voted three times to cut funding for all of these programs, which he said specifically SNAP would not go down, quote, a nickel.
Troy and Mount Horeb just texted in listening on WLAK. Van Orden is right. They aren't being reduced by a nickel, but by lots and lots and lots of nickels. And Casper and Madison also texting in. Also, tax cuts for billionaires. Yep, we got money for that.
Oh, yeah.
And $45 million for a Garden of Heroes. But hungry kids, yeah, well, go in the fields. There's things to pick, kids.
Yes.
Come on, where's your motivation? When we return, he's still dead and he's still being a pain in the neck. That's all on the way. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. I just don't know.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
One of the most basic things that a free people could want, not going bankrupt because of healthcare. If it sounds like I'm banging my head against the microphone, yeah. It's that we are having this discussion about having to hold benefits for people because they didn't have proper health insurance coverage, because they're threatened with bankruptcy, which again happens in no other developed country in the world.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
We've got Chris from Nina. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Oftentimes you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. To be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just being willing to listen.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After the 9:30 news, we're going to be joined by Civic Media's news director, Shally Pittman, just for an update on what happened over the weekend. Of course, Governor Evers announcing last week he will not be seeking a third term. And we do know at least one person, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, has already announced that she's in the race. Mm-hmm. We are highly expecting Milwaukee County Executive David Crawley to announce in the next couple of weeks. But we will talk about others who might also be joining the field and on the Republican side as well, because mm-hmm. we have a couple candidates now who have already announced. Gene from Eau Claire is on the line. Good morning, Gene. Thanks for joining us. What's up?
Hi. Thank you for getting the information out to the people on our side. You know, that guy, Van Orden, is a bully.
He is.
Yes.
And he is not being paid to bully his constituents. He's there to work for him. And I am sick of that guy. And God darn it, everybody in our area needs to get and vote that son of a gun out, because he is a bully. He thinks he orders things and you have to listen. I'm sick of that kind of representation, and guys, get ready to vote for the candidate that you want to fill his position. And that's all I got to say.
Gene, hang on for a second. Gene, hang on for just one second, because I'm curious, because you live in that area, you live in Western Wisconsin. Are other folks as tired of DVO as you are, or are they just unaware of the stuff that he pulls?
I think a lot of them are unaware of the stuff that he pulls, because he goes on TV, he sends his own, you know, clips to the television for the news, all the stuff that he's doing, and whenever stuff comes out about him, they always have a response, you know, like, and it's just sickening. So Keep up the honesty and integrity, because people can't put up with this kind of stuff anymore. We're going to you know where in a handbasket. So thanks, guys. Thank you very much for the work you do. Keep working. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much, Jean. Really thanks, appreciate Jean. It. You can always join us as well at 855-752-4842 if you would like to call in, text in. You can also text in directly via the Civic Media app, which mm-hmm. is absolutely free. And if you don't have it yet, you should download it. We don't have a lot of time to spend on this, but it's just because he won't go away.
Yeah.
As much as Speaker of the House Mike Johnson and the President of the United States Donald Trump and all these other Republicans would really just like Jeffrey Epstein to stay dead and go away, he's not going away.
No.
When Donald Trump landed in Scotland over the weekend, this was among the first questions he was asked. Mike Johnson, of course, the Speaker of the House, adjourning the House a day early in order to avoid a vote on bringing a vote up that would require the release of the Epstein files.
Even though two CBS mornings, he did say to the interviewer that he believes in transparency, that we need to know about these, we need to know about what's going on, and that justice must be sought for those who are surviving this terrible, terrible thing.
Mike Johnson said that.
Mike Johnson, that we played a clip. And then he said he knows nothing about it.
I know nothing.
I've never seen the report. He's only the third most powerful guy in the United States.
Not his lane.
No.
Not his lane. There was something that happened over the weekend that really jumped out at me that I think is worth highlighting. We have a clip from Jake Tapper interviewing Mark Wayne Mullen over the weekend, and the Epstein report came up. Calvin, play that clip, please.
But remember, there was a plea deal that was struck in 2009,
yes.
way before I was in office, way before Trump was even considering to be in office, way before Pam Bondi was in office, way before Kash Patel was director. 2009, there was a sweetheart plea deal that was made underneath the Obama administration Epstein.
No.
And that sweetheart has not been exposed.
No, it was 2000.
Well, when was the case heard?
It was 2008.
Yeah.
It was the U.S. attorney at the time was a guy named Alex Acosta.
Yep.
He was a Bush appointee.
Yep.
He went on to become President Trump's Secretary of Labor. It all took place in 2008.
Who was in office at the time?
2008, George W. Bush.
Who was in office at the time?
George W. Bush.
No, 2009 is when the case came out, and it was Obama was in office at the time.
It's not true.
No.
But let me ask you a question.
That's enough. Yeah. Sorry, Mark Wayne, you're wrong.
Yeah.
And Alex Acosta, I don't understand why we're not subpoenaing Alex Acosta, who, again, is the one who gave Jeffrey Epstein that remarkably lenient deal in 2008. Incredibly lenient
2008, when he
deal.
Was the U.S. attorney under George W.
Under
Bush.
Under George W. Bush, yes. Yeah. And then Alex Acosta went on to join the Trump administration. Epstein was arrested under the Trump administration. Bill Barr, the attorney general under Donald Trump, is the one who searched all of Epstein's properties.
Yeah.
Why aren't we subpoenaing him?
Well, are we subpoenaing? That's a really hard word to say, by the way.
That might not even be a word.
Yeah. Why have we not subpoenaed anyone? I don't feel like we are doing that for anyone right now. I feel like they're closing down shop. They're leaving. They're not coming back until September, folks.
They really want us to forget about this.
And I beg the MAGA listeners who are listening to us right now, cursing our names and calling me names, I know you do, don't let up on this. I know this was a concern of yours. And I said last week, liberals, Democrats, independents, we agree. We got your back on this one. Don't let up the fight. We're here to fight with you on this matter. We can come together on this, that at least we should know whose names are on that list, regardless of party.
And then this morning, this happened 23 minutes ago. This is on Twitter. Donald Trump in Scotland. Trump on Epstein, quote, "I never went to the island. Bill Clinton went there supposedly 28 times. I never had the privilege of going to the island," unquote. What a privilege. What a privilege.
No, thanks.
We have news coming up next. When we return, Civic Media's news director, Sholly Pittman, will be joining us. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You sunshine now and your whole life through. Hooray, hooray, go away tomorrow. Bring my lover some.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. The ongoing humanitarian crisis in Gaza is front and center. While in Scotland, President Trump today said he's concerned about the reports of starvation in Gaza and says both the Israelis and Hamas need to stop the fighting.
Well, I think nobody's done anything great over there. The whole place is a mess. It'll get straightened out, but it's a mess. They have to get food in the meantime, food and safety right now.
Extreme heat predicted up and down the East Coast, but the worst of it is blanketing the Southeast. ABC meteorologist Jeff Smith.
These heat advisories continue in the New York City area right through Wednesday, but this is such an extreme and wide-ranging heat wave across much of the central and eastern part of the country. We're talking St. Louis all the way down to Jackson, Mississippi, New Orleans, Savannah up to Raleigh, Memphis 114, Little Rock 111, Savannah 110, and we do not get much relief at all across the Southeast right through the latter part of the week.
This is ABC News.
Jenkins back for the pack. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from the Packers training camp in Green Bay, where Elgton Jenkins is back to work and in his new role on the offensive line at center. Now, the team had asked Jenkins to move from left guard to center in the offseason. But when they signed Aaron Banks from the 49ers to a $77 million contract, Jenkins' agent objected. Today, Jenkins, returning from a back injury suffered during weightlifting in May, says he's back and will play center on his current deal.
Right now, I'm just focused on the season going forward, just being able to perform for the team and just getting our line right, offense right, and so we can be better this year than we was last year.
Today was the first practice in pads, and on just the third play from scrimmage, running back Marshawn Lloyd, a third-round pick last year out of USC, was hit so hard by defensive back Nate Hobbs, he fell to his knees and sat out the rest of the day. Baseball, Brewers and Cubs, game one of the divisional rivals, going at it tonight at American Family Field. We'll recap the game later tonight with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. As far as episodic TV goes, nothing gets me more excited than a well-done cop show. There have been two spinoffs so far from the Amazon Prime cop show, Bosch, a show about a stubborn, uncompromising police detective played by Titus Welliver. In a new cop show, Welliver heads up the cast in Westies. According to Collider, Welliver plays Glenn Keenan, a Vietnam vet and gritty beat cop. The story is set in the early 80s in Hell's Kitchen in New York and follows the Westies, a real-life Irish street gang, as they try to carve out a piece of the action despite being a much smaller force than the Mafia's five families of New York. Welliver calls his character deeply corrupt and very dark, but also nuanced. Joining him in the cast are J.K. Simmons, Tom Brittany, Jessica Francis Duke, and just added additions Sarah Bulger and Stanley Morgan. The Westies will drop on MGM Plus sometime in 2026. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clouds will increase in the overnight as showers and storms become likely. Some heavy rainfall possibility as well. Lows close to the 70-degree mark, a north breeze developing. On Tuesday, a chance of showers and storms, partly sunny, and middle 80s. It's 78 at our studios.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Joe Thomas grew up in Brookfield, Wisconsin, and had Hall of Fame football careers with the Badgers and Cleveland Browns. So what's his passion now? Well, join us Tuesday when Joe Thomas sits down with Brady Ewing and me for a special on-location show from Six Springs Farm, the home to Hall of Fame beef. Catching up with Joe Thomas Tuesday. You're not going to want to miss it.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, he is the host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Pat joining us tomorrow after 9:35 to break down all Wisconsin news. We'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Sweet Calby on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. An hour from now, after the 10:30 news, our segment called Audio Sorbet, where we try and lighten things up, get away a little bit from the news, just to take a breathing break, a little cleansing for your brain. Audio Sorbet coming up next hour, and we're going to have a Audio Sorbet follow-up.
Oh, wow.
From Friday. Our guest is Shally Pittman. She's Civic Media's news director, and you were with us last week, Shally, when we had our all-host meeting in Madison. And after our meeting was done, I couldn't find my car in that parking lot for 40 minutes.
Exactly.
I'm not surprised. Perfect. It took me a month to figure that out.
Thank you.
I told you you weren't. Shally, we will get to the important news of the day, but let's talk about something even more important. The fact that Jane, for a moment, thought that she was the only person on Earth who had ever done this. And
no.
I feel like you think that no one's been to the airport before.
It's challenging because there are multiple entrances and exits.
Yes.
And they don't line up.
Yes.
You lose what level of the parking garage you're on. I completely understand. And I will say that the parking garage is actually a great hangout right outside the Civic Media offices.
Right.
I like to sit out there and do work. So.
Well, next time I'm trapped in there, I'll just keep shouting to that area and hopefully someone will
Shally!
Hear me. Yeah,
I'm
using my key fob and the sound is bouncing all over the walls. Anyway, so we had a follow-up email mm-hmm. that came in after we did Audio Sorbet last Friday. This is involving a snowstorm and a vehicle. So we'll do a little update with that. It's good.
Audio Sorbet, the addendums edition.
The addendum edition. Right now, though, we're going to put, yes, our attention back on actually important things happening in the world. That's why Shally is here. Big news, of course, last week, Shally, was Governor Evers announcing he is not seeking a third term. We do know that Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez had a really strong video, I thought, coming out of the gate. And Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley has also hinted that he will be formally announcing in the next couple of weeks. Where are we with some other potential Democrats entering this race?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. There's been a lot of turnaround in the last, 5 days?
Yeah.
So Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, a day after Governor Tony Evers announced he won't be running for a third term, did come out with this kind of punchy video where she gave her life story in about 3 minutes. Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley also said he would be taking steps toward entering the race for governor. He said in a press release, the stakes are simply too high to sit on the sidelines. But there are many other people considering a run. If you remember when Governor Evers first ran for office, there were, 10 people on the ballot for Democratic?
I had forgotten that there were that many. But yeah, there was a whole bunch of them.
Yeah.
Including where I am, former Madison Mayor Paul Soglin. So
right.
that was interesting. But, I haven't called Paul, so maybe I should. There are, though, many other folks probably considering a run who we have some development on that I hope to share with you. So in the category of folks who haven't declared but are widely assumed to be running is State Senator Kelda Royce. I called her up last week. I want to say it was Thursday. Can't quite remember.
Time is
sometime
a construct.
Late last week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is wibbly wobbly, timey wimey stuff. So
nice.
Here is Kelda
nice.
Royce. and so if it's okay, if you have the clips, I asked her what she thought of the governor's announcement and where she was. So we can go ahead and play that.
Calvin, you got that clip? Here we go.
My overwhelming feeling is just gratitude for Governor Evers for not just his two terms of service as our governor, but his lifelong service to the state as an educator. And I think at a time when so much of our political culture is about cruelty and then the chaos and corruption that we see out of Washington, it's just been very reassuring to have such a steady, calm, kind person leading our state.
I mean,
all right. And then I asked her the million-dollar question, right? Are you considering a run? And here's what she told me. There have been kind of dribs and drabs of her appearing in the media. So, but here's what she told me.
Well, I've been, you know, very flattered and appreciate all the folks who are reaching out to me and urging me to run for governor. It's certainly something that I'm seriously considering. But what I can say for sure is that I am going to continue spending the next year and a half traveling around the state, talking with voters, and doing everything in my power to make sure that we have a Democratic governor and a Democratic legislature in 2026.
Non-answer.
Wait.
Non-answer, right. But her on record saying it, so I had the tape and wanted you to use it. Also yeah. Possibly considering a run, State Senator Chris Larson in the kind of lawmakers camp, which we also saw in 2018 when folks were running, some state senators stepped up. The list, though, of possible contenders is long. We have Mandela Barnes, former lieutenant governor. We have Sarah Godlewski, Ben Wickler, although he's writing a book, Tom Nelson. So we have a bunch of names, but, you know, this is all really to say we just have to hurry up and wait for the next year plus. Another contender, though, is Attorney General Josh Call. He also hasn't announced, but I did see him at the state capitol on Friday during a press conference on something wholly unrelated, or maybe not. But here's what he told a scrum of reporters who descended on him outside the assembly parlor.
No comments or no announcements today, but what I can say is, first of all, the governor just made this announcement yesterday, and I do think it's important that we take a bit of time to reflect on the significance of the last 6.5 years in Wisconsin. When Governor Evers took office, our state was moving in a very different direction with attacks on workers' rights, attacks on teachers, and that has fundamentally shifted over the past 6.5 years. And I've been proud to work with Governor Evers on a number of different issues, and you can see the progress we've made on things like fighting the opioid epidemic, where we've now helped secure over $800 million that's going to go to fight that epidemic. We've worked to restore access to safe and legal abortion in the state of Wisconsin. We have fair maps in Wisconsin, and there are so many other important changes. We're also dealing with a federal administration right now that is trying to dismantle opportunity and personal security for people across the country. So I look forward to continuing to work with Governor Evers in the year and a half ahead as we work to stand up for the best interests of the people of Wisconsin.
If you're just joining us, we are talking to Civic Media's news director, Sholly Pittman, about all the breaking news from the past few days, especially over the weekend. We always miss the big news over the weekend. And that was a current Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call making no comment, but then making a lot of comments. One, I think it's funny. He's like, it just happened. I'm like, well, Sarah Rodriguez didn't wait. Why can't you all not wait? But yes, that was a very answer, non-answer.
Well, and with all due respect to Attorney General Call, yes, he just announced it. We need some time to reflect on his wonderful. Oh, give me a break. There's things going on behind the scenes with all of these folks. It's not like we need to take a week and just reflect on all the wonderfulness of Governor Evers. Come on.
But for you, Sholly, like this, now it's just the beginning, I imagine, of that. If there were, what, you said 10 people in the last time, I imagine how many are going to be.
I think on the ballot, there were even more who later dropped out before the primary. I want to take a second, though, to dissect that response from the attorney general. For someone who hasn't announced a run, he did mention several items that are part of Tony Evers' record for sure, but that the attorney general also had a hand in, right?
True.
The opioid lawsuits,
right?
Recouping money from opioid manufacturers and distributors. Abortion, we've certainly seen in the last couple of months, right? Press conferences and rulings from the state Supreme Court. So, you know, perhaps those were strategic things to mention. But that's the news of where we are. Meanwhile, on the other side,
yeah,
right,
Republican, on the Republican side.
Right. We have at least two folks who are definitely in the race, you guys know, Bill Berrien and Josh Shulman. However, we got some news yesterday that after some cryptic tweets that involved a 45 to 47 on the side of a hat, apparent allusion to the Trump presidency or the number of governors in the state or the number 47 appears on the side of a lot of hats. Anyway, Scott Walker, former governor of Wisconsin, announced that he won't run again in 2026, at least. He said he wanted to focus on the YAF and that he didn't rule out a run ever completely in the future, but at least not for 2026.
Well, Scott Walker is a relatively young man. I mean, is he late 40s, early 50s?
He's early 50s now.
Yeah, so he's got time, certainly. He just misses people talking about him. I think he really, really misses being in the public eye.
He's 57.
Oh, he's 57. Isn't he making like $800,000 a year as the head of the young Republicans group that he leads? He's making pretty good bank in that job.
He's making private sector money, which is what a lot of politicians do in this situation. But it is interesting to see that he has made that clear to everyone that he's not going to be running. And if I'm not mistaken, even though they were brought up into the mix, neither Eric Hovde nor Tim Michaels have said yes or no to a run for the governor as well.
Are you hearing any rumors about that, Shelley, as far as Hovde or Michaels jumping back in here?
Just like in the Democratic primary, who knows what is going on and what conversations are going on behind closed doors. We also have Congressman Tom Tiffany potentially feeling out a run.
He came out with something on Twitter this morning talking about how Wisconsin's energy costs are too high. So I'm feeling like he's trying to craft his message. Should he decide to jump in?
Was he the one who also posted a fish photo?
That was Tom. Other website said, from now on, everyone who wants to run for governor of Wisconsin
must
show themselves holding a fish, which Tom Tiffany responded with a picture of him ice fishing, holding a fish. And then I immediately thought, well, isn't that infringement on branding for Eric Hovde, who loves to sit in lakes? You know, this is all lake adjacent for these people. Tony on the live stream makes two very important comments. He says, I doubt Tom will run, but I very much, and it'd be a very uphill battle, but I like Tom Nelson believes in unions, workers' rights, love it. He is a gentleman who's always been in the mix here and there, but has never really made that push. And something even more important, he said, and it's true, I noticed Greg hasn't, well, hold on here. This is more of a joke here. Well, now it won't just load. There we go. I noticed Greg hasn't said no to his run for governor. That's right.
Are you just holding out until the very, very last minute?
I'm deciding whether or not I want to be a Republican or a Democrat. It depends on where the money comes from. But this, I mean, it's going to be very, we're starting, folks. We've started.
I just like the idea of a candidate coming out and saying, who's going to pay me more?
Yeah.
That's the way I'll vote.
I appreciate
Let's just
honesty.
Be honest. Yeah. Let's full disclosure. Just buy me. I'll wear your patch. We're going to continue our conversation with Civic Media's news director, Shelley Pittman. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. You're listening to The Vast, statewide, countrywide. If you have the app, you can pick us up around the world. The Civic Media Radio Network.
Wait a minute. See, the pieces don't fit this time.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's ice cream month, and did you know you can celebrate at this area stop along the state's ice cream trail? Here's the scoop.
Now, in Wisconsin, we've got 49 different licensed ice cream plants that are making it. But this map focuses in on unique stops in Wisconsin. Every one of them's got a story.
That's Pam Yonke, known as the Fabulous Farm Babe. She says the current trail includes 20 locations, each one from Hayward to La Crosse, Madison, and then north to Appleton, Green Bay, and Door County, dishes out delicious, locally made ice cream.
I've been to one or two, but I'm surprised by how few I've gotten a chance to visit, and I'm a pretty big ice cream fan.
Find the trail at the website gatherwisconsin.com and add your own local favorite there, too. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba,
the founder of Wonderfully Wisconsin. He's been on the show before, but tonight he's here to make the popcorn pick of the week, Mr. Paul Vandenplas.
The Peanut Butter Falcon.
Oh my God, I love when people pick a movie I know nothing about.
A campy comedy buddy story, really just a heartwarming message.
Paul picked a movie that I've never heard of that gets excellent critic and audience reviews. Very well done, Mr. Wonderfully Wisconsin.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. She is Civic Media's news director. Shally Pittman is here to break down all the news we might have missed over the weekend, and there's always lots of stuff going on. And this, Shelley, I think is really important. This missing, this new task force for missing and murdered African American women, the statistics are really pretty shocking.
Staggering. Wisconsin has the most disparity across the country, according to a study for Black women. Age 25 to 44 years old, according to a study in The Lancet, were 20 times more likely to be killed than white women. And those are some of the statistics that were raised at a press conference last Friday. Happy to answer questions if you want me to dive right into it. But Dane County Representative Sheila Stubbs has introduced similar legislation before to create a missing and murdered African American women task force. It hasn't gotten traction. It hasn't passed outside the legislature for a variety of reasons. She described the battle to get this passed last session when it came the closest. It didn't come out of committee, and she had to get it reassigned, and then it was never taken up for a vote in, I believe, the Senate. This task force would analyze the issue, take a look at why Black women and girls in Wisconsin have these disparities, both being killed and
disappearing,
and missing.
Yeah.
Disappearing, exactly. And at the press conference at the Capitol on Friday, there were posters of women who had been missing or killed, including, as we'll get to, the mother of Sade Robinson was also there and spoke. But this task force doesn't necessarily need the legislature. And I think that's a little bit of a nuance that's interesting. The Attorney General, Josh Call, whom we were just talking about, doesn't need the permission of the legislature to create his own task force. But he was asked about why go through this process. And he had two responses, one being, look, we want the state legislature to be part and parcel of finding solutions to this crisis, and we want to be funded. We need money for one person in the State Department of Justice to coordinate this task force, to track down testimony, to get 17 members in a room, and to help prepare a report. So that's where we are. But as I said, there was very powerful personal testimony from a number of affected family members. I want to highlight Sheena Scarborough. She's the mother of Sade Robinson, who was killed last year and dismembered.
Yes.
And she spoke, you know, this case received high national attention, was very high profile. The person convicted of killing her is facing a sentencing this Friday. But maybe we focus too much on the trial and not the systemic solutions out of that. And so let's hear from Sheena Scarborough, the mother of Sade Robinson, after maybe some of that media coverage has ebbed.
You know, there weren't many other supports during this time. I didn't really have anyone to guide me through how to even understand what I'm going through. I've never even been arrested before. Like, we've never dealt with the law system. We've never dealt with law enforcement. It's been so severe all across, and it takes every layer of both ends of the table. It doesn't matter what your race is. It doesn't matter if you are Black, you know, Republican, Democrat, religion, it doesn't matter. These are our babies. This was my daughter. She was a granddaughter. She was a sister. She had her whole life ahead of her. My angel worked two jobs. She had her own apartment. She is just graduating from Milwaukee Area Technical College. She had just received her Associate of Arts degree. My youngest daughter had to walk in her honor. So many things have been taken from us. She was taken away weeks before her 20th birthday. We had so many plans and so many things to do. I've worked so hard to raise two beautiful, intelligent daughters, and we have done nothing but put out good into the universe, helping others, being advocates, and then for somebody to come and tragically take your child in the worst way is the worst nightmare anyone can imagine.
That's the mother of Sade Robinson, who, again, was murdered and dismembered last year in Milwaukee. And I would have to think, too, Shelley, one of the reasons why this case got so much attention is because of the horrific nature of this case.
Yeah. And Sheena Scarborough described the amount of support she got from the community and from her family, but maybe a lack of infrastructural support. And that was a theme that other speakers hit on, including Tanisha Howard, the mother of Janiya Walker. They're all, despite these horrible tragedies, showing up to advocate for a task force to prevent these things in the future.
Well, and
so you can find more at our story online at civicmedia.us.
Yep, go to civicmedia.us, click on news. Our news department is doing a great job. We got bodies on the ground all over the state. If you would like to join our news team, you can also look for jobs. Civicmedia.us, Shelley Pittman is our news director. Thank you so much, Shelley, for your time. Really, really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
News coming up next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. Three people are dead, six were shot this morning when a gunman opened fire in the valet area of the Grand Sierra Resort and Casino in Reno, Nevada. The suspect was shot in a firefight with police and has been hospitalized in critical condition. Sparks, Nevada Police Chief Chris Crawford.
At this time, we have no reason to believe there is a connection between any of the victims and the suspect, and we have no known motive by the suspect.
The EU trade and tariff agreement is a done deal. ABC's Rachel Scott with what's in it.
As part of the deal, the EU will buy American military equipment and $750 billion worth of American energy. And they will drop all tariffs on most American goods. The U.S., however, will impose a 15% tariff on most European